Well, I want to start this morning by asking several questions. Those of you who know me know that I like to ask questions. I always have. I've told you this before. You'll know I'm losing my mind, no comments, or not thinking straight if I stop asking questions. I ask some of you questions. You're like, that's none of your business. I want to know some things. And I'm going to talk about, again, the truth today. Or as we might say, truth. But we often, within the body of Christ or the Church of God, I use that term more loosely now because church defines fellowships, where the true word church means those that are called out, the ecclesia or the ecclesia. That's more definitive of the body, where God has placed anyone that's called out by him and has the indwelling of his Spirit. But we always called it in the church the truth. And I want to ask a question as we begin. I'll be asking a lot of questions, but what is our sacred duty before God regarding his truth? You might say, I don't have any. Oh, you do. I do. You do. We do. Is it merely enough to learn the truth and then assume that you and your fellow brethren will always know it? Here's a question to ponder. What is the rate of truth attrition in the minds of God's people? How can you personally and powerfully help keep God's truth alive and also within the confines of the body of Christ or God's church growing in the way that God would desire? Sir Isaac Newton defines some of God's law of physics. There are laws of physics that God set in motion. Thank him for that. Otherwise, I'd be here, and if I was on the moon, things would be floating. It'd be kind of hard. My water glass, me, unless I had weights around wherever my feet or belt. You know, I have extra weight, but not that kind. It's not going to hold me down. His first law of motion, if I remember correctly, the law of inertia, simply stated is, bodies in motion tend to remain in motion, and bodies at rest tend to remain at rest. Some of you exemplify the law of inertia on both sides, or some on one side, some on the other. The more technical wording is, a body continues its state of rest or uniform motion unless it is acted upon by an external force. I find that fascinating, especially the part of an external force. Do you remember your learning curve in elementary school? Some of you are like, oh, that was a very long time ago. Do you remember your learning curve? The more you studied, the more you learned and could repeat it on a test. However, the external force of summer vacation took a considerable toll on what you remembered by school start in the fall, did it not? The English poet Thomas Gray once summarized this summer vacation conundrum. When ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. A classic case of what I want to talk about today. The truth, reinforce it or lose it. That, friends and family, for those of you that like titles, well, that is the title of the message today. The truth, reinforce it or lose it. But what is our top priority in regards to the truth? In my decades of living this physical life, and finally I can say I've lived decades, I think I've lived long enough that I can talk about experiences without people saying, well, you don't know nothing, wait till you're old. And I still get that, you know. Well, wait till you're my age. I'm not going to live to 105, you know, whatever your age is. In my decades of living in this physical life, over and over, I have heard and dug deep inside to try for me to keep focused on what is most important. When Gail cooks food, and she's a wonderful cook, there are certain top priority ingredients that she must not miss. And occasionally she does, not very often. I'm like, what's missing? Oh yeah, I forgot this. That's pretty important, but hopefully it'll be okay. Some of us cannot eat certain things unless they have certain ingredients that we like. And so, what is our top priority? What is my top priority? What is your top priority in life when it comes to the truth? What is the most important thing you possess? Your physical life? Your family? That's probably one of the biggest deterrents for many. It's all about family. My family. Well, okay. Your health. Your freedom. Your wealth. Or is it something else? A genuine friend of mine who died recently conveyed a story to me many years ago while we were traveling together on a ministerial visit. And I quote, because I remember it quite well. He told me, in 1953, a lady by the name of Alice Bizzle, Mrs. Bizzle, was baptized what was then called, not that that's really important, but was called the Radio Church of God in Portland, Oregon. And whenever she met someone new at Sabbath worship services or at the Feast of Tabernacles, she always came up and used the following opening line. When did you come to the knowledge of the truth? When did you come to the knowledge of the truth? I know, because I've asked that, I've been asked that, but I often then follow that up with a further question. How did you come to the knowledge of the truth? Unless you are like in another planet, if you ask that question at a, I'm going to ask it today to some of you. If you ask that question in a setting with God's people that have God's Spirit and they're trying to worship Him, the Father and the Son, and let that Spirit live in them, if you ask that question, it usually sparks quite the discussion. And you know what is interesting? As we talk about, and I can say, the truth, God's truth is one of the most important things we have. And some of you that will be listening to this, because not everybody watches this all today, many watch it tomorrow and through the week, and then they go back and watch it, other people, to see it. God's truth. To know the truth is to truly know God, to understand the Father and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to understand this. Do you remember your, before God called you, maybe even if you grew up in the church, do you remember where you just didn't understand a lot of this? You know what I'm watching happen within the confines of the church, the body of Christ? More and more people spend less time in this, and more people assume that they know all the truth, or they know the truth. And you know why you don't assume? I won't define that. Break that word up. And so what I'm finding is, I do this from time to time. I listen to messages online from various fellowships of the Church of God. I'm like, they don't know what they believe anymore. They think they do. Are we like that? We think we still know it all. Well, we're going through the Bible basics with the former prophets in 1 Samuel, and are we finding all kinds of things we thought we knew that, or maybe we never read before? And if you're not part of that, I strongly recommend you consider revamping your priorities, folks. It will be helpful for you, not because I'm such a gifted teacher, no, but because we're going through the Word of God that many don't do anymore. So the truth, it enables us to understand the true history of the universe. And specifically, especially, to know God's plan will offer salvation to every human being who's ever lived or will live. We forget that sometimes. I'll never forget the time in Charlotte I made a comment that, what are you going to do if Adolf Hitler repents? That'll never happen. I can't believe you even said something that vile. He needs to come up in the lake of fire and feel the pain before he dies. What are you going to do? Pick somebody you really think is a wacko. You may look at me and say, you know, what about you? Well, stand in line. God's plan of salvation. To have the truth is to know and understand that the incredible human potential of what? Being in God's family. All the things going on in the world right now, I'm not overly completely rattled with everything. I don't like it, but I don't fuss and toss and turn and wring my hands and worry. Oh, we attacked Iran again. Oh, this person. Oh, that person. Oh, we got TSA backed up at the airport. All the things we do. Whatever it is. Oh, I went in yesterday to buy organic apples, or Thursday, organic apples at Walmart, and it went up $4 in the last week. Outrageous! How bad is it going to get? Anybody got a can of worms? Because I'll eat it and die, and I'll be done. Do you catch yourself doing that? Because the truth says it's going to get a lot worse, but then it's going to finally get better. And I'm betting on, not a gambler, but if I keep trying to obey God and repent and love God and love everybody else, not just the people in my fellowship or my family, that I'll be there. The incredible human potential we have, each one of us. And again, I refer back to my mom having this picture on, and she may be watching today, on the refrigerator with this little kid saying, God don't make no joke. Each person that has ever breathed is going to have an opportunity to be part of the family of God. Are you okay with that? What about somebody that did you in and you don't like? And you may still not like them. No surprise, I have people in that category. So do you. No, I don't. I love everybody. I'm like, you know, whatever that philosopher was. I never met a man I didn't like. Liar, liar, pants on fire. No, maybe he never met a man he didn't like. He just didn't meet very many. He didn't meet everybody. I remember one time my dad had a little bit of sarcasm. I said, you know, Dad, everybody hates me. Son, that's not true. Everybody hasn't met you yet. Had to think about that one. We have the truth to understand the incredible human potential. Without God's truth, we would be like the vast majority of mankind at this time, spiritually mystified, blinded, without a clue about the meaning of life or that God even exists. I have people that I regularly interact with that don't believe in God. They don't believe such a being exists that, I don't know, a bird went to the bathroom on a fence post and there was a giant ecliptic kaboom and here was the earth. I don't know what they believe. They're all over the place with it. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says what? In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Our minds being open to the truth is not a small thing. Jeremiah 9, verse 24, and I have these in my notes. I have my Bible here, but I can read this better because it's 16 font now. The current rate, I'm going to be at 200 font another year. But Jeremiah 9:24, that was supposed to be funny, that bombed. Let him who glories, glory in this. If you're going to glory, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness of the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:3, and we do glory in that because we are among those who believe and know the truth. Just believing in Jesus Christ doesn't mean you know the truth. There are many things taught by quote-unquote ministers and teachers. You may have even grown up in this, that are, as we say, doctrines of men. They're not the truth. They're not. You know, somebody that's here visiting left their dress pants for church at home, and they have very nice, skinny, blue, dark jeans on. And they said, I don't have my Sabbath wear. I said, what? Now, some of you out there are saying, that's right, if you don't wear blue jeans to church. I tell the story of walking into West Palm Beach once when I was there for a funeral, and I took the wrong bag to the airport. Didn't realize it because it would look very similar until I got to where I was going. So I walked into church with a clean shirt and a pair of blue jeans on. And I didn't tell you that part of the story. I got chastised. I wasn't dressed properly for worship. They didn't call it worship services. We don't call it that. I wasn't dressed properly for church services. And I'm like, So, and then one time I was in Bolivia visiting for the feast to be there to speak and help and encourage and love and serve. And I was told after a message, they had a bunch of them got together, wanted to talk to me. Thankfully, it was all in Spanish. When did the church change the doctrine of dress? I said, you mean I'm supposed to be wearing a dress? They didn't laugh in Spanish. When did we change the doctrine? Okay? And so the truth can be doctrine, but a lot of the doctrine that some of us follow religiously is not the truth. It is of men. Do you want me to enumerate it? I could. Quite the long list. And it keeps getting longer. And it doesn't go away. So I tell people like Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run. There is nothing in this world that compares to knowing and understanding God and His truth. Hebrews 1, I think verse 6 says the first thing, you have to know who God is. Some of you don't know who God is, you don't know who the Father is, and you don't know who Jesus Christ is. How dare you judge me? I'm just saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I listen. You don't. Or the truth you have is different than this I have here. Well, that's what the church has always taught. Who cares what the church has always taught? What has the truth always been? You follow me? What is the truth? Truth is not subjective. Truth is not through your lens. We all have different perspectives. We must never let the truth slip from our grip. One of the words I learned as a young age has affected me throughout my life. You may like this word, you may not. The word is panorama. A panorama from the Greek pan, meaning all, and horama, meaning view, is an unbroken wide-angle view or representation of a physical space. It can refer to panoramic photography, paintings, film, or a comprehensive overview of a subject. Do you remember some of your phones when you first came out with the panoramic pictures? And you could turn the phone. You have this on Google now, I think. If you look at your house or a location, it'll give you the panoramic view. That hasn't always been around. Hence the saying, you can't see the forest because of the trees. Boink, boink. Or all you see is the forest, you're missing the trees. Or you're not missing the trees. Common uses and contexts include photography by creating expansive landscape images by stitching together multiple overlapping photos horizontally or vertically. I loved growing up in the Midwest. You know, Roy and Margaret are down in Texas. Good morning. Hi. Miss you guys. But When you drove down from Wisconsin, you went through somewhere sort of the Midwest a little bit. And you saw some white, whether it was Illinois or Kansas or even Missouri, you went through some very wide open places. And when I could look and gaze as I turned my head left all the way to the right, it just kept going. I've been with people, they're like, this is so boring. How can you stand this? I'm like, I could do this for hours when I'm driving. Going from Omaha all the way on I-80 through Nebraska, going through Wyoming, Colorado, get down to Utah, Nevada. I love it. People are like, this would drive me nuts. There's nothing. A friend of ours from Wisconsin Dells one time said, yeah, I went to Nebraska once, I remember. He said, I just remember saying corn, 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 tree, corn, 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 more corn, corn, a little bit of soybeans, corn, 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 tree. I said, and? And you live where we live now, and in the Carolinas, there are trees everywhere. And they cut them down like they're never going to go away. I love the panoramic view. So might we consider the panoramic view of God's truth? Because he called us out of this present evil age, that's Galatians 1:4, and we are blessed to know the true God of the Bible. We know his laws, which defines his way of life. One of the things that people don't get, do you know what defines the United States of America? Our laws. What's breaking down? Our laws. That's why you don't recognize part of the United States anymore. Because every, I almost said dimwit, every judge that decides to do a lawsuit and block something of any level does it. And they can. Until another judge. And it's like a bunch of kids in a sandbox. You know? And I know that if I were to do some ridiculous thing like go 120 miles an hour down to Orange Beach and run over a mailbox or pass a police, do something and get pulled over, man, they would lock me up and throw away the key. But you and I know in certain parts of this country, oh, I'm not even going to go there because somebody will be offended, but I would get off, pardon this bad joke, scot-free. Maybe I, do I have a get a pass go card, scot-free card, because that's my name? No. Thank you. Love you too. Kim's here. So we know that God made man mortal and we must repent of our sins, which are transgressions of that perfect law of God. We clearly understand that the word is, that is, Jesus Christ came and lived in the perfect life, then died for the sins of all mankind. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. We know that we are part of the body of Christ, or AKA the church of God. The historical extension, if you will, of the ministry of Jesus Christ started 12 apostles, went from there. God continued to call more people. And he's still calling people, by the way. Just maybe not the people you think he should be calling or because they don't worship God the way you think they should. I hope I'm touching a few nerves to get people to get a little uncomfortable so you'll think about what you do and what you believe. Because was it you that said what's destroyed the truth and God's way of life is this thing called religion? I think that was you. Wise saying, where'd you learn that? Okay. We live, preach, and teach the true gospel of what? Christ is coming back, the Father eventually, the kingdom of God, which is only a beginning. It's not some final destination. If we could just get there, we made it. The very message that Christ personally taught. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse, I think, 14. I think that's what I want. If not, we'll figure another, find another verse. Another verse. Mark 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, a new civilization, the family of God. and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, you, and believe the gospel. Change, go the other way, and believe the gospel. Not just believe that Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, it's way more than that. But it's the message he personally taught. We clearly understand God's incredible plan of salvation, or we should. If we've been around the church of God or lived this way of life, sometimes at times we forget just how awesome these things are. These are not things to be taken lightly. But familiarity breeds contempt. We comprehend how he chose and worked with ancient Israel. We know, yes, I said no, that Christ will return to earth after numerous end-time prophecies are fulfilled. When they're going to be fulfilled exactly, how they're going to be fulfilled, we have an inkling in Scripture and some directives, but, you know, the big one is, when is Christ returning? There's a big discussion going on right now. Got people all lit up. New papers coming out, new doctrinal statements. This is how it is. It's always been this way. Someone said, Christ can't return on Pentecost, or he has to turn on trumpets. And someone said to me, what do you think of that? I said, he can come back whenever the Father says he's coming back. If the Father says, you're coming back on July 4th, he's coming back. No, it has to be Pentecost, on the Sea of Glass, all this, or it's got to be the Feast of Trumpets. No other time. Wow, I didn't know you had a big G in front of your name. Because you're now God, the Father. You know. I had no idea. Oh, I have things to ask you if you are. I need help on all kinds of stuff. We comprehend certain things. We eagerly anticipate his second coming to rule the nations for 1,000 years or so. With us as resurrected saints, I say us loosely too, because some of you think you're going to about automatically be there, and surprise, surprise, Gomer Pyle. There are some he's going to say, I never knew you. But I did this and that. I had this position and that. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You never talked to me. You never studied my word. I never talked to you. Yes, but you were in my heart. Lord Jesus and Father, you were in my heart. He says, you better check on that, because I don't know who you are. Now, that's God would not say. He knows everybody and everything. There's questions I have. Answer them. Dig in and answer them. You might have an answer for every question I've asked so far. Good. Hang on, because I'll trip you up with something that you haven't thought about. I don't mean trip you up. I will make you be consternated. That's a better choice of words. We understand that the millennium will be the day of salvation for those who live then. We also know God will remove the fallen angel, Lucifer, also known as the devil and Satan, our adversary, and his demons from being able to deceive the whole world during the millennium, except for a short period, and then ultimately forever. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when he's not around? How would you like to have him, God said, okay, next Sabbath from 10 until 12, Satan's not allowed in any around any of the people of God to influence them? Nothing. No spiritual nothing. He has to go away. Do you think it would be different? Think about that. Would it be different? The church used to teach, that Satan didn't come to the feast. He wasn't there. And I'm like, whoever made up this contraption idea has got their head somewhere else, because I've never seen more problems in all my life working in anointing and counseling. He was alive and well. And for those of you that say he's not in the church of God, thankfully, he's so alive and well, you're probably listening to somebody like that later today, maybe. He's in there. He's alive and well. Marvel not, brethren, for Satan himself transforms his ministry into angels of light, which is what Lucifer was. Oh, I'm smarter than that. Are you? If you're in tune with God, you might be and discern that, but you sure you're connected to God to that point? Well, I have no doubt about it. Wow. Okay. We know that at the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment after the millennium will be for those who were never called to understand God's truth, including the masses of mankind today. Does that make you look at people differently that you don't like? Like, just let it go right now. Worry about you. Or I worry about, not worry, but focus on where do I need to look in the perfect law of liberty and change. We then rest assured that they will all have their opportunity for salvation. Yep. All. A-L-L. We understand, based on the truth, that the incorrigibly wicked, those who refuse to repent, want no way to follow Christ. They don't. We'll come briefly back to a physical life of what we call the third resurrection. There's no mention of a third resurrection in the Bible. The concept, but there's no name, the third resurrection. Yes, there is. Well, I saw it in this church booklet. No, it's not in God's Word. It's not, to say it in truth, it must be called the third rigorig. I mean, the third resurrection. That's a whole other story, rigorig. But to die a second death in the lake of fire from which there is no resurrection. Some people will say there's going to be a lot of people in that baby. I've been told I'm going there multiple times feet up. So we clearly and thankfully understand the wicked will not be tortured forever. I was talking to my chiropractor the other day, and he's savvy, and he goes to Cuba, and he does mission trips and prays with people. He does all this stuff. He's a really great guy. He's got a really great understanding of the Bible, except for when he doesn't. And he says, my biggest thing is I got to remind them that if they just love Jesus, they're not going to hell and burning forever. And I looked at him. He said, why are you smiling? I said, because I don't believe that. Oh, that's right. Well, I got other people I got to see today. We'll talk another time. I said, okay, let's do that. You know, and he said, and you don't believe in going there either, do you? I said, well, not permanently. What do you mean by that? I said, when I die, I'm going straight to hell. The grave. Sheol. And he just kind of smiled because he knows me. Over the years, especially when I was younger, I've been told I'm going to hell or go to hell on some occasions. That's part of life. We know and believe the incredible prophecy of the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, all that, Revelation 21, 22. A lot of people don't know how that fits with when Christ returns. And that the Father's coming down, but Christ isn't, or they're both coming down, or when he comes down for that 1,000 years, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. They got it all muddled up and mixed up. You might be thinking right now, I haven't thought about that for a while. Well, you need to go search out and find the truth to the best of what we understand it. We will dwell with God the Father and Jesus Christ in the vastly expanded divine family going forward into pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16:11. So it's a panorama. But we also know that we have to get to there from here. The other day I went to Jackson, Alabama, Paul. And I said, I'll bet you Paul lives in an area like this. A little bit, yeah, driving around. And we got so turned around, discombobulated, the GPS was, you know, doing the old recalculating. Sounded like somebody's head was spinning, right? Going in circles here, and I said to Gail, where are we going? I'm like, why are we not? We need to go there. That's where the GPS. She says, well, just go here. She's on her phone and look at the map. It's like, just, we'll get there. Well, I said, I hope when we come home we don't do this. And we didn't. We came home, it was like, boom, 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 and we may. I said, that was so bad, much better. But I'm like, I don't know how to get there from here. You had to, but, you know, I remember Chicago. Roy, you worked in Chicago a while. I remember one time I went to Chicago and I made a statement, whether it's true or not, I got off at two different exits and I couldn't get right back on the same exit. And I said, in Chicago, it was the only city I've ever been. You get off at an exit, you can't get back on in that exit. Well, that's not always the case. Well, it was the case for two times for me. And I said, God, please don't ever send me here. Right? Well, now what people do, they're all entitled. They just make their own entrance wherever they want, whether there's one or not. We have proven, or at least I hope we have, understand that God's word, the true teachings, we're to understand better as time moves forward, hopefully appreciate the challenge we face as we endure to the end that we might be saved. That's why he says you're called. Many are called. Few of those are chosen. And then some of that group are called, chosen, and faithful. It's a progression. Just because you're called and accept Jesus doesn't mean, ta-da, right? It's no mystery that we are battling our adversary, the great deceiver, to gain freedom and victory through Jesus Christ. Revelation, I think, 22 says we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Some of you think you can overcome him on your own power, because you're wit and you have God's spirit, and I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of him, but I'm not stupid either, I hope. We better make sure. And the Messiah himself stated, if you abide in my word, you are my, this is John 8:32, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've said this before, the freedom in Christ that I have now that I didn't have up until 2018, thank God for that. Some of you don't know what true freedom is. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not telling you to do anything. But if you want true freedom, you've got to have the truth and a relationship with our Father and His Son. And it's not through a group of people or a ministry or an administration or an acronym. And every one of you is going to be tested for that at some point. Because as Mark Sabatin made a statement that some disagreed with, we are called to be alone. It says, you must be willing to forsake mother, father, sister, brother, and yea, your own life also, and take up your cross. Ooh, evil word, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Being solidly grounded on the word of God, his divine truth, truly frees us from ourselves, this world, and our adversary and his minions. In short, there's this scripture that says judgment now is upon the house of God. This is our day of salvation. This is our opportunity. Oh, he'll forgive me and I'll come up in the second resurrection and get another shot of it. You sure? I'm not trying to scare you, but we must keep the truth. There is no middle ground. I talked earlier about the law of motion or the law of inertia. The good news is that we move forward that spiritual momentum or velocity, which the Spirit of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword piercing within our hearts. But it's the Spirit of God is power and love and a sound mind. And a huge part of that is the truth. The impetus emanates from God's spiritual calling, His Spirit within us, energizing how we live and act upon the knowledge of the truth of God. Do you remember what Pilate said to Christ? What is truth? One of the most profound questions that's ever been asked. The physical law of inertia has a spiritual application. I know you and I are well aware of the external forces that can slow or stop our momentum of living, doing, teaching, preaching, and believing God. And that relationship and His truth. I've said this message goes way back, in case you're wondering. It's as applicable today as it was in 1982. The first external force is moi, human nature, self. The second is the devil with his devices of deception. That's a DDD. We learned from DDT, that was bad. Well, this is DDD. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Let's rush over there. 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'm watching my time. If I'm not, I'm the only one that isn't. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we, that would be you and me, are not ignorant destitute of knowledge or uninformed of his devices, his strategies, his tactics. So the second is Satan. The first one is self, S. The second is Satan. And I call it the three S's. The third is the present evil age, where the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the ruler of it. This is not, it is my Father's world. No, it's not. Not yet. He has the power to do whatever he wants, and in us he will, and his Son. But the prince and the power of the air is not the God of this world. It doesn't say it's our Father. I won't sing that song. I despise it. So I call it simplified the three S's, self, Satan, and society. That's a pretty simple one to remember. What can we do to counter those external forces and maintain spiritual momentum? We are well aware also of the external forces that can slow and stop our momentum of the things. I've seen sincere folks trying to do God's will get sidelined and actually begin to go backwards because their forward momentum has been slowed or in some cases stopped. I learned this living in the winter, in the north in the winter, in Nebraska, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Manitoba, you know, Winterpeg as we called it, all these places. You're trying to go up a hill. I don't care, even with four-wheel drive sometimes. You get enough ice, you can't go. You just spin. And then you start, maybe really, like some people think, I can burn a hole through the ice and into the pavement. Well, they do. And then they start going backwards. Wah! There's smoke and rubber burning, and they start going backwards. And I'm like, just let off the gas, wait till it stops, and eventually you'll stop sliding and hit something and stop. Because that law in motion, you're going to hit something that's going to stop you. But we do that in life sometimes. In some case, our momentum stops. You ever had a big piece of equipment that you're moving? And you're really going along, all of a sudden you just can't push it anymore and it stops, and then you can't get it started again. And you're like, oh, come on, Logan, we can move this. And we're like, you can't move it. You got to figure out something because you lost the momentum. Sometimes you're working on a project and you're like, oh, I need to stop and eat. I've been at this 2 hours. It's noon. So we have to eat at noon. A la punta at noon. Exactamente. I'm like, let's work for another hour. Get done. Then we can shower and have a nice meal. Nope. So you sit down and eat. What happens? You lose the momentum. I ain't going back out in this, especially in the South. I'm not going back out in this heat. Right? They ever tell you when you got a sail and you're that close, don't stop. Close the sail. If that takes another 30 minutes or an hour, do it. Don't walk away because you may never get that opportunity again, right? I'm just thinking. He's a salesman. We lose that momentum. And so we come to a critical point of the message. You and I must reinforce the truth. My father-in-law reinforced his roof on his trailer after whatever hurricane that was. What was that?
Harvey.
That was a wall banger. In any battle or war, the victorious army reinforces its front line quickly and powerfully. During the American Civil War, Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest is reputed to have declared that victory goes to the one who gets there firstest with the mostest. Legendary Texas Ranger Captain Bill McDonald stated, "No man in the wrong can stand up against a fellow in the right who keeps on a-coming." So when and how should we seek to reinforce God's truth in our minds and the minds of our fellow brethren in our hearts? Using the military analogy, I have behind me the whole armor of God. I've referred to that often in Ephesians 6. I carry a responsibility to provide meat in due season. That's Matthew 24:45. For me, for ourselves, our families, and our brethren. People say, what do you do some days? I read this and study it and meditate on it for hours sometimes. Boy, that would drive me nuts. That's why you're not doing what I'm doing. All you did was read the Bible for 4 hours? Yeah. okay. I've had people say, okay, that's not my cup of tea. And I say, I know. And so the inward man is renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16. We regularly reinforce the truth in our minds using dynamic spiritual battle tactics. We are soldiers, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are at war spiritually. Not just from the pulpit or when we go to church on the Sabbath. How do we live daily in this world? When people see us, what do they see? Let another man praise you. I'm going to tell you something about, because Roy and Margaret are watching, I'm going to embarrass the liver out of them. I said to Gail, Harry's going in for this procedure this week. And he's got to drive up, I think, to San Antonio. He's got a hotel. He had everything laid out. And I sensed in his voice, it'd be kind of nice. I just sensed this. Maybe I'm wrong, Harry. If I am, forgive me. It'd be kind of nice if somebody was here to take me. And the very next day, we were talking on the phone, and he said, oh, yeah, Roy and Margaret are coming down, so he can take me. They can take me up to the procedure. God bless you for that. But you know what? What do people see? Now, everybody knows. Roy, pat him on the back, and Margaret. Good. You need a thank you, an accolade now and then, in a right way. You know? Do we have opportunities? Do we do it so we can be seen? Do you do it to be seen? I want to talk a minute about preaching and teaching, because I've been watching for decades within the percent, a large percentage of fellowships or the Church of God, something happening. And I'm not alone. There has been, since about 1995 and way back before, a huge shift in Christian living messages. I regularly get comments, you need to give more Christian living, more palatable and less bombastic. I can say, along with the conversations, Christian living, the term Christian is very different now for me. The world's Christianity has often quite effective on such topics. Frankly, a lot better than what I've been in. But if we talk exclusively about, mostly about Christian living topics, we fail to reinforce sometimes the truth, which traditional Christians have no interest or comprehension. How do I know? Watch some of the mega churches, they're teaching. Listen to what they say. It moves you. You get emotionally, oh, wow. You cry sometimes. But when you're all done, stop and say, what did I just hear? And we have some very gifted people within the Church of God that do this very well. Go back to the time of the history of the New Testament. What did they do to try to increase attendance in the early church? They brought in gifted orators to speak. And they went from the interactive discussion type thing to one man stands up and tells you how it is, and this is what you do. And you're moved. You go, wow, he's so gifted. I'm doing that to you today. My preference would be, if I could, with all of you, to have more of an interactive discussion, but it's just very difficult. We tried doing it by Zoom, and you always get one person that comes on, tries to take over everything and change the subject to their own agenda. So we decided no. It happened. I didn't misspeak or stutter. The focus to the church started in the late 60s, middle 70s, the early 90s. The leaders, teachers, some called into the ministry, so they thought the churches that the men that taught, they carry responsibility to provide meat in due season. And the meat was bad, some of it. Women have their roles too in teaching. Here he goes. Far too many think women are to keep their mouths shut, be completely quiet at all times during services or in other venues. That's a misapplication of Scripture. Taking it out of context. But what do I know? I'm liberal. I'm a heretic. I lost my mind. I've known way too many ministers and teachers and people of God that neglect the scriptures, that identify the uniqueness of our calling, the identity of who God's people are, and what the truth is. A man that I used to be very close to gave a training session for speakers. He said, if you have any doctrinal questions or any questions about material that should be covered or what's in the Bible, go to our website and look at the papers from our doctrinal committee. Man, my antenna was jingling so bad you could have swatted flies with it. Really? And I was told another time, all these white, hoary-headed men, that would be me now, I guess, and Paul and Wynn and Bruce, and he's still got a little color, so you're safe. We know everything. Just listen to us. And so they water down things to sound like traditional Christianity. Not that all Christianity is bad, but identifying the uniqueness of our calling, of teaching, and they ignore scriptures that teach the truth distinctly. And they're doing it more and more, and you're not even picking up on it. Let me give you one recent one that's not so recent. Listen to the messages, do the reading. They don't delineate or distinguish between the Father and the Son. Doesn't matter. It's just God. So people are like, so which God am I praying to? Which God is I worshiping? Which God is... It doesn't matter. It's just God. And the people say, there's just one God, so there's only one. Okay, then which one is it to you? And you may be saying, that's no big deal. Do you know who I pray to? The Father. And sometimes I say, and by the way, your Son's right there, so. But I don't focus on Jesus Christ or Jesus. Oh, you should. He's the head of the church. Well, there's this other scripture that refers to what? Who's the head of Jesus Christ? His whole ministry. Who did he constantly point to? My Father and I are one, but I do his will. Your will. If there be any other way, Father, forgive me. You're right. Your will be done. What does it say in Matthew 6? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Do you know that Christ doesn't know when he's coming back? Well, that's not fair. They're one. He's hiding from him. Oh, how dare he? There's something wrong in this communication of those two. What happened? It's breaking down. I saw a whole article on that recently. God has revealed to me that the Father and the Son are not one. And I was like, I can't run fast away enough to get away from that. Many brethren, the tactics used to preach the message ignore subjects surrounding God's plan and God's law. And God, what love is. Love of God is not wearing a jacket and a tie to church. If you want to, great, I'm happy for you, it looks wonderful. But that's not hang all the law and the prophets. On the other hand, if you in defiant of God say, I'm going to wear my gym shorts, my flip-flops, and a backward baseball cap that says, I love Kelowna or Corona, yeah, we might have a problem. You have to sing three songs first after you tell everybody, find your seats, brethren. The sermonette message, as they call it, has to be, it's just to calm people down. Let some people go potty. The real meat is coming with the main message. Until then, it don't matter. Well, when we worship God, singing, praying, some of you will hate this word, testimonials. Makes you shake. It's so evil, isn't it? No, it's not. I have flipped my... I know I've lost my mind, right? I've lost it. Being forewarned is forearmed. We shouldn't neglect all of the Christian living topics, and our conversations need to include statements about the distinct elements of God's truth. There are many that are not valued or recognized by a good portion of mainstream Christianity. That's reality. And Islam doesn't have a better religion. I heard that recently. we should consider. They're really not stupid people. And they have some points that are very something we as Christians should adapt to. I can't faceplant hard enough without knocking myself out. You might recall my message of August 9th last year. The five major religions, faiths, and you. Over the decades, I've asked those questions of those that give messages to cover topics in Christian living only about one-third of their messages. And in those messages to include crystal clear statements that reinforce the qualities of God's truth, how they apply to living, and the world doesn't understand yet. You and I must keep ourselves and fellow brethren focused on the fundamental details of God's true way of life, plan of salvation, and then what? Living it. There's the discipleship of living it, but you got to know it to live it. Tomorrow morning, if we were to go down to this huge church down here right off the interstate, that parking lot, you will not be able to park a toothpick in it when it starts. Any other time during the year, unless there's a crawdad boil, there ain't going to be nobody there. Maybe one car, maybe somebody cutting the grass. They're not. Or maybe a funeral if they use it for that. But it'll be packed. It's a huge church, beautiful, very modern. But I guarantee, because I know some people that attend there, and there's a lot of things they have no clue on or care. One person said, I go there because that's where my friends are. I said, how are the messages? I don't know. I don't listen to them. Why do you go to church? I don't know. But if they're not teaching the truth and we don't want to fellowship with people for the truth, why do we do it? Do we really want to be free and have the freedom of Christ, the freedom of our Father in our hearts? Do we want that? Okay, a couple other things before we finish. When and how, during fellowship and with each other, how did you come to the knowledge of the truth? You want to know a conversation stopper for some? Well, I grew up in the church. That's not interesting. Very few people ask me, were you like growing up in the church? What are you laughing for? Well, wouldn't you like to know? Ask me. Some things I won't tell you, but some things I might share, and you might go, oh. I've been high smoking dope. Not because I had a doobie, but I went to a concert sitting up in the nosebleed section. I could hardly walk out of that place. I know what it's like to get the munchies afterwards. Some of you were laughing. You're thinking, oh, I can't believe he's telling this. I've watched people get killed. I've been with people that overdosed with LSD and heroin. You grew up in the church? My poor mom just had a massive second heart attack. Oh. You wouldn't understand what it's like growing up in the church, what it's like to live in the real world. Really? You have no idea. Oh, then if you grew up in the church, obviously you'd really messed up, because only people that get called when they're 40 or 35 or 50 are true people called out of the world. I believe I was called from a very early age. Try navigating that. Oh, it's really good. It's not always really easy. Alice Bissell, as were many brethren those days, on to something. I started attending Sabbath worship service in the Holy Days in 1962. As I grew, I listened carefully, partly because I had a ton of questions. Conversation discussed the difference between the truth and whatever one's background will help others and yourself to remain focused on the truth of God. To build bridges with brethren or possible brethren to be by discussing the truth. Some of the finest hearty counsel, see Proverbs 27:9. Where does that come from? It does not make us better, but the fact is God is not calling every person out there right now. He's not. If you're a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother, talking to your children about how wonderful and different God's way of life is compared to the way of the world makes the truth live in their minds from very early on. My wife reads, Ro-Ro reads to our grandkids every day, and more books she gets. Oh, we can't read that. Or she reads it and says, no, that's not what God teaches. Well, what does he teach, Ro? This. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And the Jewish translation says, and as he gets older, he will not depart from it. Conversation. I keep reminding on fellowship on the Sabbath. No offense, folks, but I don't care about who won the football game. You may like to talk about your job and you need to, but it's not a high priority. I'm going to ask a question, and I'd like you to think about this. As we fellowship, skip the politics, skip the sports, skip the social media, skip our jobs. What did you learn this week about how God says we should live? Please think about that. And some of you that watch us, I may lose some followers today. The Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. What's its purpose? I love the fellowship. I love the meal. I love the time together. I do. I enjoy that. I look forward to it every week. And there are weeks where some are sick or can't make it. They're traveling. We miss you. When I say I miss you, oh yeah, sure. No, I do. But the same thing when we write letters or messages or we type things. We are the children of the truth. Stand firm and deliver by how we live what God has given us. Again, I stay out of chat groups because they antagonize, argue, bully, simply blather on and on with opinions of all kinds of people, and everybody has an opinion. Oh, I don't do that to stay informed and learned because it drags me down. It doesn't build bridges with so many. It polarizes. Politics says the same thing. And the Church of God still polarizes people today. Oh, it's too bad you left the church, Whit or Scott. I'm part of this, the true church. Remember that? So friends, when it comes to the truth, we've got to either reinforce it. Listen carefully. Reinforce the truth often, daily, continually, and don't stop that. Or you will lose it. I will never lose the truth. We must have the faith once delivered. That's not faith. That is an administrative decision by somebody that said that 70 years ago. And that was right then, it's right now. So effective immediately, we are having three songs. Opening prayer, sermonette, we're going to follow. I'm joking. Many of you will need haircuts. Some of you will need ties and jackets. I'm trying to be funny, and you guys are all looking like, just end, we're hungry. Okay, so anyway, the truth of God, make sure what you do and believe and follow and live is the truth. And not everybody's going to see it the exact same way. Oh, that's too bad, because then we can't all be one. Someday we all, God's going to combine us all into one. Not in this life. He's not. Because he places you in the body as it pleases him. And that part of the body, you know, Roy and Margaret are going to Africa. God bless you. Yes, but it's not officially part of any group. Somebody, I said, my in-laws are going to Africa. What are they going to do? Some kind of build a mission? Why do we categorize everything into this is right, this is wrong? Why do we do that? Because we're still human. And the truth of God isn't completely ingrained in our hearts yet. We're not free. We are shackled. By in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and truth the commandments of men. I want to put a question mark in your head. I want you to think about, why do you do the way you what you do? When God called you, how did he call you? Do you have the truth? Do you have the truth? Are you free? Only you can answer that. So what will you do? Join me in prayer and we'll finish and then we can go eat. Our Father in heaven, we come before you in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. In our hearts and minds, Father, help us to be tools in your hands to listen to you, to let you live, both of you in us, through that Spirit. Move forward, gain momentum, to stand firm, to stand tall, and to love you and love our neighbor as ourself. And loving you means to obey you and follow your truth. So we just ask your blessing now. Bless the meal. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for all of those on. Thank you that faithfully just support us, encourage us emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, through prayers and just things that are sent. Thank you for them. Thank you for that. But help us, Father, to not just get comfortable and think that we know everything and we have all the truth, because we are to grow in grace and knowledge, and we don't. It's a process. You do, we don't. But you're helping us, and we're growing with that. So we thank you. We ask your dismissal now. We pray this through the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Anointed One. Amen.